This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, May 14th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. E15 facing challenges in the Senate. Customs approves $35 billion in tariff refunds and more aid under Food for Peace. In a major win for corn producers, the House has passed legislation to allow year-round sales of higher ethanol blends. But the victory back short-lived as it became clear the legislation as written will face opposition not just from independent oil refiners, but also soybean and biodiesel groups as it moves to the Senate. The issue isn't E15 itself, but rather a provision backed by the American Petroleum Institute that would shrink the number of small refineries eligible for exemptions known as SREs from the biofuel blending mandates. Independent refiners strongly oppose the change. The big league battle is next in the Senate, which I see as highly unlikely with SRE reform as written, Bloomberg Intelligence biofuels analyst Brett Gribbs says after the vote. The fuel price backdrop is arguably the most supportive ever to pass year-round E15. It's unfortunate the SRE drama is caught up in it. You can read more at agripulse.com. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has approved billions in tariff refunds, and some importers are starting to see the cash hit their accounts. In a court filing this week, CBP's Brandon Lord said the agency has okayed more than $35 billion in refunds from the emergency tariffs jettisoned by the Supreme Court, plus interest. He also noted that some of these refunds have gone to the Treasury Department for disbursement. The tariffs, which were imposed under 1974 emergency powers, netted the administration about $166 billion in revenue. Some importers are already seeing the refunds hit their accounts. Wine merchant VOS Selections, which challenged the emergency tariffs in court, told AgriPulse through its legal representative that they have already received $110,000. Jay Foreman, CEO at toy manufacturer Basic Fun, said in a statement through the same firm that his company has received about 5% of the refunds owed. So far, the funds are trickling out, but they have started, which is a very positive sign, he said. USDA is taking applications for a second tranche of food assistance under the Food for Peace program and could spend up to $357 million. The department temporarily took over Food for Peace at the end of last year via an intra-agency agreement, and it's still working on spending last year's unallocated funds. The funding notice says the latest food assistance will go to 4 African nations and 3 in Central America. The food products have to be of U.S. origin, USDA says, and groups need to have accountability mechanisms in place and work towards reducing populations' dependence on foreign aid. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number 2 milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. The U.S. rice and sheep industries have been in Washington this week with meetings with lawmakers and administration officials to argue for protection from rising imports. 32% of the rice right now that's consumed in the United States is imported from basically two countries, India and Thailand. That the word Ben Noble of Arkansas Riceland Foods, speaking with AgriPulse, go back 30 years. 30 years ago, those imports were not coming in. The U.S. rice industry has long appealed to the administration for action to combat imports of subsidized rice, including directly to President Donald Trump. It appears that efforts may be paying off. Earlier this year, top trade official Jamison Greer suggested the administration could launch a trade probe into rice. The industry has been asking for that and more in meetings this week. They're also concerned that Dominican Republic is not living up to its market access commitments under a U.S. trade deal. We've got to get price competitive, Bobby Hanks, CEO at Louisiana-based Supreme Rice, said. The only way we can do that is either by fighting fire with fire, meaning subsidizing in the same way that India and other countries are doing, or by tariffs. USA Rice Federation Peter Bachman has been meeting with rice industries across South America to build a coalition to confront the Asian subsidizers in international forums. We're all in the same boat. They're all losing money, he said, adding that he hopes to formalize the coalition later this year. The new executive director of the American Sheep Industry Association, Mike Meichner, also in the Capitol this week for meetings on the Hill and across the administration. The industry has been pushing for a trade probe of its own, that to counter imports from Australia and New Zealand. Trade is right up there amongst their major concerns, he told AgriPulse. But also costs are too high. The H-2A labor issue is adding to cost. Predation is adding to cost. Prices are volatile, and then there are the risks that are just not being mitigated. Vermont could soon be the first state to ban paraquat. The state's legislature on Wednesday approved a bill that would phase in restrictions on use of the herbicide by 2030, sending it to the desk of Governor Phil Scott, a Republican. The bill would bar the sale, use, and application of paraquat without authorization from the state's agriculture secretary. However, producers would have until the end of 2030 to seek state permits to use it in orchards or on small fruit crops. After a rough year, biofuel plants are restarting worldwide as more favorable U.S. policy and war in the Middle East lifts demand, Darling Ingredients CEO Randy Stewie says. Diamond Green Diesel, the largest North American renewable diesel producer, recently bought a plant online that had been mothballed for most of last year, Stewie said yesterday at a BMO Farm to Market conference in New York. Operations were ramped back up to full capacity after Trump administration in March issued record high biofuel blending requirements for this year and next. Darling, a 144-year-old rendering company, co-owns Diamond Green Diesel with Valero Energy. Also helping buoy demand is the war in the Middle East that has sent petroleum fuel prices soaring and reduced availability. Once again, the world figured out how fragile the supply chain is on fossil fuels, Stewie said. Summit Carbon Solutions has changed the path of its proposed carbon dioxide pipeline in Iowa, removing about 200 miles and 400-plus landowners from the route. The new route will allow, quote, a more focused and streamlined regulatory process, the company said in a news release. Gone are proposed routes in Shelby, Pottawatomie, Montgomery, Adams, Page, Fremont, Mitchell, and Worth counties. The company is also reducing pipeline mileage in Crawford, Floyd, Sioux, and Dixon counties. The company has been trying since 2021 to gain regulatory approval for its pipeline, which was originally planned to be 2,500 miles. A law prohibiting the use of eminent domain for carbon pipelines, however, has forced it to consider rerouting the pipeline to avoid South Dakota. Here's today's final word. The only place where corn and soybeans aren't grown in the same field is Washington, D.C. A staffer for a rural Domestic Energy Council member commenting on the leaked American Soybean Association members-only communication advising members to not support the year-round E15 legislation in its current form. The soy industry took issue with the latest study from the University of Missouri's Food and Agriculture Policy Research Institute that says the bill would lead to using more corn-based ethanol to meet national biofuel blending quotas as opposed to green diesel. In backlash, U.S. Grains Council Secretary Treasurer and former Nebraska Corn Board Chairman Jay Reiners burned a copy of ASA's magazine in a post on X. In posts that were later deleted, he said the group had lost the support of many corn farmers and urged growers to demand their dues back or drop their memberships. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, May 14th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Chuck Alley.